What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
Bright and early on a Saturday morning. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody listening and watching on our YouTube Live, Facebook, on X, Twitch, TV, across all of those social sites and everywhere else. Be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal across on social media. Look, Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Twitch TV. All of those, you can keep up. Just simply go to the search bar and type in the Jaguar Journal. Boom, there we are. So no excuse, but continue to grow with us as we continue to grow this show. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Hope you had a great week. It is the summer. 4th of July has passed us. We're rolling into July for, you know, it'll be time for those kids to go back to school. They'll stop eating up everything in your house. And doing all the, you know, you got to keep them busy. So, hope everybody, hey, listen, SWAC Media Day is next week. Getting ready to cover that. Not only SWAC Media Day this past week, the all-SWAC selection for first team and second team was released. Southern had two names. Trey Holly, second team, and Herman Brister. Trey Holly, of course, running back. Herman Brister, defensive back. Both those guys represent Southern University when you look at the all-SWAC selection, the only two. Now, what was interesting is I saw articles out in terms of Florida A&M. They didn't have not one player selected to the all-SWAC first or second team. So I saw some people were saying, hey, we got a lot to prove at Florida A&M this year. Of course, with their new coach, Quinn Gray, former quarterback there, you know, he's one of their superstars of the past, and he's come back to lead the program now that they moved on from James Cozy. So, you know, Florida A&M has a lot to prove, but one of the issues with Florida A&M this year, APR issues, postseason ban, practice limitations, scholarship limitations, and we know all too well what that's like here at Southern University when you have to deal with that during those Dawson Odom years in the early times of the having to formulate a walk-on program and, you know, no spring practice after the Bayou Classic was over. That was it until fall camp. So We know all too well, but the question is, can Quinn Gray navigate Florida A&M through that the same way Dawson Odoms and his staff navigated Southern through that? So with that all-SWAC selection, Florida A&M has a lot to prove. Also this week, the first black college football poll was released. They did a top 10. Of course, Southern University was not in that top 10. But as you look, you saw the top teams. South Carolina State, Prairie View, Jackson State, Alabama State are the teams that everybody's looking to say, hey, you're going to have to beat this year. Throw in North Carolina Central also. But those seem to be the top-heavy teams on the front end, and then everybody else just fall in line on the back end of wherever you can get in. I saw a lot of respect and love towards Texas Southern and Grambling this year. Of course, both those teams coming out of the SWAC West. That a lot of people believe both those teams are going to be much improved, especially our cousins from up in North Louisiana with Mickey Joseph as their head coach, Grambling State. Their fans believe this could be the year that they could finally get over the hump. But, of course, they always have that big test over in Dallas with the State Fair Classic between Prairie View and Tremaine Jackson right now saying, look, I'm not just a HBCU head football coach. I am a college football coach. Don't put me in the category. My job is to go out and not just win games against the SWAC or other HBCUs. I'm trying to go out and beat everybody, regardless if it's Baylor, Tarleton State, whoever the hell is on the schedule. I'm taking the team out there, and I expect to win. That's a breath of fresh air for me. Because far too often when I hear coaches in this conference, when we do non-conference, hey, it wasn't a SWAC game. And I'm like, bruh, when it comes to branding and marketing, every game is the game. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it count towards conference. But I also know we put a lot of emphasis on those games because at the end of the day, we do not compete in the FCS playoffs. We compete in the Celebration Bowl. We have a de facto playoff game, which is the SWAC Championship. And then winner of the SWAC Championship then goes on to play the winner of the MEAC in the Celebration Bowl. So, but different strokes for different folks. And I get it and I understand it. But I do like the talk that Coach Tremaine Jackson is saying out loud and publicly that I'm not just a football coach in the HBCU space. I'm a football coach in the college football space. And no matter who's the opponent, and he made sure this year he made that schedule really tough for Prairie View to go out and prove that they are one of the top teams in FCS. Now, will they be able to get it done? That's the question. But from what I've seen right now coming out of the SWAC West, they're going to be the favorite next week, I can assure you, when they release the preseason standings of the SWAC East and West during SWAC Media Day. The interesting thing is, who's going to be picked out of the East? With Andrew Boddy returning, of course, he's picked as the preseason offensive player of the year. And I'm interested to see, will they roll with Alabama State, who lost on the one-yard line on the road at Jackson State for their homecoming? I went up to Jackson last year to watch that game, a classic. Y'all remember ESPN Classic? That's what that was. It was an instant classic. That game should be played over and over and over if you're a Jackson State fan. But if you're an Alabama State fan, you learned something in that game. You learned your team was right there. 10 wins and was at home last year with no FCS playoff because of the Turkey Day Classic. Playing that first week of the FCS playoffs. And you watch Jackson State once again host a SWAC championship game up in Mississippi. And my biggest question is, when will the West finally host a game? We have allowed the East to dominate between Florida A&M when Alcorn was in the East and Jackson State. Every team in the East has, well, not every team, but the East has continuously held the SWAC championship at home since we done away with the neutral site and done best team with the home record gets the host. Best team with the SWAC record gets the host at home. So that's going to be next of can the West, can Prairie View get over that hump? You look back last year, Prairie View did lose to Alabama State. Alabama State then went on and they lost to Jackson. Then Prairie View goes on to beat Jackson State. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go. I'm excited because guess what? I'm talking football. We're getting around to that time of the year. I'm starting to get myself going again. I haven't talked football in a long time here on this show. I've talked about all type of other stuff. But here we are. We're getting towards football season. And especially for Southern University, all the question marks are out under first-year head coach Marshall Faulk and his staff. Southern coming off a 2-10 season, unprecedented. One of those seasons that I'd rather just put in the back of the book and act like I never even saw that chapter and move on to a new chapter. And we have a new chapter. It's the Faulk era, and we want to see what Coach Faulk and his staff is going to do and how will they navigate rebuilding this team and rebuilding a program that is tradition-rich, storied-rich, and what will happen for the future for us. I've been told by many it's going to be a slow rebuild. You know, for others, they want a quick fix like we saw at Prairie View. However it's going to be, I think it's just going to be a process for us as fans to have to watch what this is going to be because this is unknown, it's uncertainty. We do not know what to expect considering Faulk is a first-time head coach. He has surrounded himself with veteran guys, but not much coaching experience amongst those guys. But, hey, that's part of the process, right? Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. As we come back on the other side, man, I got a very special guest. Matter of fact, he's a legend, not only at Southern University, but the SWAC. He's the all-time leading rusher. My man, Lenard Tillery, will be joining me here in the studio. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching live on our YouTube, on X, on everything, right? Good morning. Facebook, glad to have you guys with us. Very special guest here in the studio. My guy, man, listen, we've been friends a long time, and I didn't realize early in our friendship the greatness that he was going to bring not only to his own life, but to Southern University, my man, Lenard Tillery. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Glad to be here. Good morning, Jaguars.
Now, do people, I call you, is it Leonard or Lenard? How does it go?
It's Lenard. Like, it has no O in it. Lenard. Everybody get it wrong, but like I understand.
And I wanted to say that out loud because, you know, there's always something where people look at it and they try to figure out how to go about it. But, you know, you are a Baton Rouge guy, and oftentimes I hear, especially from Southern fans, that they feel Southern don't recruit the local area, right? And this has always been an ongoing conversation amongst the fans of saying, man, there's so much great talent here locally. You come from what they call the Great McKinley, right?
Right.
Played
right.
at McKinley High School, man, for many. What was that process like for you to be recruited by Southern and how you ended up at Southern?
Well, honestly, I guess going into my junior years, kind of when Southern picked up the ball and was like, okay, we want to get this kid, we want to get him over here. And most of the time it was Chad Germany, a guy that came from Baton Rouge, was a head coach at Capital the year before. He got an opportunity at Southern. And when he was in high school, he pretty much told me, hey, if I get this job, I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was going doing bigger, better things. I thought I was going to LSU, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU. I had a lot of schools recruiting me. But we had currently verbally committed for Northwestern in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But
you wanted to be a Wildcat.
Hey, it was all lining up. I loved the program. I took a couple of visits to the campus.
Academically, great school, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was the biggest thing for me, just their engineering program. And the crazy thing about it, I actually went to multiple camps at Southern for the engineering programs, their STEM, and all the other things that we have available at our amazing university. But I got to my senior year. And I got hurt in the jamboree, hurt my shoulder.
Really?
Man, and I saw how much of a business college football was because I went from literally the day before, I couldn't stop my phone from ringing. I couldn't stop people sending mail. The next day, I couldn't get in contact with the coach at all.
The word had spread that fast, you were injured.
That fast.
Mm.
The only coach that called and checked up on me was Chad Germany.
Mm.
Chad German from Southern University. And he didn't call and say, what are the other coaches doing? What are these other teams thinking about? All he said, man, how are you doing? How do you feel? And that just made me feel, it made me feel like a human and not like a football player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming back, had a great season. My senior year only played 3 games. But I think I went for 200 in every game that I played. And Coach Germany pretty much was the only person. Other coaches started coming back and talking to me once they saw me come back. But he was on. He never really talked football. He just, how's your family? How are you doing? Are you praying? Are you, you know, doing these different things? And so for a second, I was like, you know, I'm not going to worry about football. I'm just going to go to school, get my degree, and go on about my life. And when Coach Germany heard that, he pretty much, he pulled up on me, you know, like they used to do back in the day. He pulled up on me. He said, man, He say, you'll really be, you know, slapping God in the face if you throw your talent away, you know? And I sat there, I thought about it, man, and it was the only school that made me feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was literally, you know, down the street from my house. So I guess not in that aspect, but in the fact that I had coaches that knew me personally and mm-hmm. cared about me as a person versus just cared about me as a football player. And getting hurt showed me that a lot of these coaches that I was talking to, a lot of these schools I was talking to, they only cared about Lenard Tillery, the football player. Coach Germany, Coach Joseph, they were caring about me as a young man, as a person, as somebody they could put time and effort into, and they thought it was worth it. So I went and told my dad. You know, it was a decision I made crazily. I had a Southern University jacket that I had for years, and I wore it to school. And it was a girl, I can't even remember her name, but she came up to me and she was just so excited. And she was like, oh my God, you got Southern on? You going to Southern?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. You know, my mom went to Southern. My grandmother went to Southern. One jacket changed the trajectory of my entire career. And when I saw how excited she was, mm-hmm. I hadn't even decided at that point. I decided in that moment. I said, you know what? I'm going to get Southern University a try.
Let me ask you this, because the reality of the business for a lot of young men out there, they don't understand the reality of the business. And when it was eye-opening for you, truly, what was that feeling? I know you said, you know, you want to feel like a human and not the football player. But beyond that, when you really saw it's cutthroat, they're looking for the next guy instantly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess at the time, there was a lot of guys I was competing with in the city of Baton Rouge. You know, we had a lot of great athletes, great running backs just around, you know, everywhere. And, you know, you go to a camp, you can compete with these guys. You could blow it out the water. But at the end of the day, it's not so much, well, I guess it's about you as an athlete, but it's more so about your team as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to McKinley High School, we weren't really competing for state every year like a lot of these other guys were. And so they were pretty much pushed up on these pedestals. And so these coaches tell them, hey, look, you compete with this guy, you compete with that guy. And so I accepted the challenge. I was ready for it. But the way they would talk to you would really, you know, have you thinking like, hey, man, this guy really cares about me. Mm-hmm. This guy really, you know, he wants to see me do better, and he's talking about my family, and he's talking about this, he's talking about that. And so in my 17, 18-year-old brain, I was believing that they cared about me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got hurt and nobody called to check but Chad German to see how I was doing, nobody called to say, hey, well, we're off, actually going to pull that verbal offer that week. Nobody called to do any of that. It was just straight to the next person. Mm-hmm. And then to come back that same year, like I said, I had to go back and look at the stats. In three and a half, four games, I ended up going for like 800-something yards that season, just at the tail end of the season in the thick of, you know, conference play teams that we weren't supposed to beat, we were beating.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they saw that, the same coaches that had disappeared for 6-7 weeks came right back and were talking like, you know, they had been talking to me every week, every day and everything else like that. And I just saw how much of a business it was. How these coaches are saying, yeah, we care about you, No, they care about numbers. They mm-hmm. care about stats. At the end of the day, this is their job to recruit good players.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, business is business. It is what it is. I understand that now that I'm older. But in the 17, 18-year-old mind, I thought that it was more personal than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the personal approach worked for me to get me to Southern and then to keep me at Southern and to do the things that I did at Southern.
Once you got to Southern, became a part of the program, Southern, you know, you won a championship in 2013. But, you know, it was kind of wait your turn, but you had to prove yourself as well.
Oh, yeah, immediately. Like, I guess when I came in, that was probably the biggest thing that at the time Coach Stump Mitchell and Coach Elvis Joseph, that they stressed to me.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to give you anything. The only thing we can give you is an opportunity. They couldn't even give me a scholarship at that point because, you know, the different APR issues that we had going on. But luckily for me, you know, I took school seriously, did really well in school, did really well on my ACT, so I still ended up going to Southern University for free. Little refund in my pocket with all the different scholarships I was able to get. But they told me, like, look, we can't give you a scholarship, but we can give you an opportunity.
Mm.
And so that first year where I came in, I competed for the position, and they decided, okay, well, we got two senior running backs, we got a guy that's a junior, we're going to go ahead and redshirt you. And so when I came in, after my redshirt year, I competed against guys that were seniors, guys that were juniors. And, you know, the way it fell out, it was a lot of ups and downs, but I ended up getting the starting spot. And like I said, we could go and say, you know, history took it from there. But the next year and the year after, it was always a competition to be who's going to be the best for this year. And that's one thing I liked.
Talk about some of those guys you were competing in that room with, that running back room.
Oh, my goodness. Man, I guess the first year we had Darius Coleman
mm-hmm.
and my man TC, both good running backs, but I feel like they both had one, like TC was more speed, Darius was more power. My balanced approach was able to kind of win it out. In the end, we still shared carries, we still shared reps and everything else like that. But I had more of a balanced approach when I came to the game, and I always like to have a balanced approach. And then the year after that, they went out and got like four transfer running backs. I'm talking about some heavy hitters in Jamarcus Jarvis, Malcolm Crockett, John West. And one guy, you know, there was a little post on Facebook, whatever, they were talking about this guy, Tyree Bracken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, man. He was like, he was one of the guys that elevated my game to the next level. When I saw him not even play for the first time, but just practice for the first time, and I saw what he was coming with, I was like, man, it ignited something in me where it was like, this is what I love. You know, I love the competition. And anybody that I feel like is better than me or anywhere near my level,
mm-hmm.
they're going to make me elevate and go even harder. So, when Tyree came around, and, you know, one of the greatest guys ever, we would have all these different conversations, whether it be about life, whether it be about sports, whether it be about culture. And I was like, I really, really like this guy, but I want to kill him every chance I get. Man.
You know, you win that role, man, and once you get over that hump and you find it, because one thing about you, and I've always loved this about you, even as my friend, man, you don't run away from competition. You accept the challenge, and you're going to go head on, and you're going to work as hard as it takes in order to get over that hump. Where'd you get that from? Was that instilled at home, just that work ethic from you?
Well, I guess I grew up in a very, very Christian household, and, you know, if you read the Bible, it's going to say it in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. And one thing about my dad, I probably get it directly from him, is that it's always more. It's a more mindset. Even if you get somewhere where you feel like, oh, okay, I'm better than everybody, I'm better than everybody around me, I would go on the internet and I would look up the top players in the country to say, okay, well, if I'm better than these people, I need to see who everybody I'm competing with. Mm-hmm. And so that mindset it carries over, whether it's sports, whether it's work, whether it's, I could care less if we go outside right now and say we're gonna play marbles. I want to be the best at marbles possible, you know, yeah. And that's just my mindset when it comes to everything. Now, you know, naturally, you're not going to be able to be the best at everything. But if you carry that mindset with you across the world, I feel like you're going to have success in the things that you do.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those things where it's just, I guess, a prideful thing, but it's more so if I see another person do it, I feel like I should be able to do it to some capacity. And with enough time, with enough experience, I think I can be pretty good in that field. And so with football, man, I fell in love with football at a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was 8, 9 years old, my dad would wake us up 4 o'clock in the morning and we going to New Orleans to go do some construction work.
Mm-hmm.
And so from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night, we're doing construction. And I'm talking about working. And we might be lucky if we get a lunch break, you know. And so I learned very, very early how to turn your brain off and just work. And so when I got introduced to sports, you know, football in particular, it was like, I love this. Like, you know, so we would go to practice for 2 or 3 hours and I would just be in heaven, having a time of my life. So I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with the game. And it was so many guys, I'm talking about from Little League up to NFL, XFL, where it's like you would just see guys that were just naturals at it. And I would be like, man, I just got to work. I just got to keep getting better. I want to push my body to the furthest it can go and really see how good I can be.
Hey, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. I got the SWAC all-time leading rusher, Southern University all-time leading rusher. He is a legend right here in the studio with me this morning, my man Lenard Tillery. Let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the side, we'll continue more of the Jaguar Journey. You guys stay tuned, all right? All right, everybody, we are back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Everybody watching on our YouTube Live, Facebook, Twitch TV, on X. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Got the SWAC all-time leading rusher in the studio with me this morning, my man Lenard Tillery. Good morning, Till.
Good morning. Good morning.
You and I went to Southern together, man, became friends outside of the football stuff. But, you know, interesting fact, a lot of people don't know, I forget the year, was it 2016, 2017? You and I were finalists, top 5 finalists for HBCU Students of the Year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it definitely. Just like you said, it's one thing to be dual personality. We had a football personality, but outside of football, we were also doing big things on the campus.
Doing big things on the campus, man. And we were Southern at that time, we were the first two from one school to finish as top five finalists, male students amongst HBCUs. I remember that list. It was a guy from Hampton University, Central State, Morehouse, but there was two Southern guys. It was Perry White and Lenard Tillery. But aside from that, it's nothing that could overtop that all-time leading rusher in the SWAC. That record was previously held by Destry Wright of Jackson State. He had held it for a long time, and it seemed like that record wasn't going to be broken, but you just turned Super Saiyan and just began to just go off. Matter of fact, you went Ultra Instinct, right? I know about Dragon Ball.
Come on,
right?
Now. Right? Come on, right? Now.
You rock with that?
Oh, man. You know I know it. That's one of the motivators for me.
You know what I'm saying? So, look, we on the same page, but recently on social media is so entertaining, bro. I promise. It gives you talking points. People, someone asked the question, who's the great? Now, I think the word GOAT, which is considered the greatest of all time,
right?
I think it's used loosely. And I think people use it in the sense of you watch a great game here, you watch a great performance there, but to be the GOAT, that's literally meaning you're the greatest. Now, for you, when you saw this status, because I saw you comment, I saw a lot of names at running back who was the greatest running back of all time at Southern the question was that you saw.
Right.
And I unfortunately saw your name left out a lot amongst other names that were mentioned.
Well, I guess the biggest part about it, we could take it all the way back to Phonics and just word and how he worded the greatest running back that you've witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if some people didn't come to the games and see me play, then I can definitely understand that. You know, if you went to some of the games when, you know, maybe they were younger and they had a lot of these other guys, they definitely had some amazing running backs to come through Southern University. So I tip my hat to the running backs before, and I tip my hat to the running backs after. But if you saw my comment, as I said, in my personal opinion, I feel like I was the greatest, mm-hmm. You know. And so if we look at the numbers would tell a different story as well. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, your opinion. And so I had some other comments, like we said earlier with Tyree Bracken. I had one guy that said, you know, Tyree Bracken, but the politics at Southern University, they didn't let him, you know, pretty much be what he wanted to be. And that was probably one of the funniest comments I saw on there, because, you know, if you were actually in these rooms and around during that time, you would know that that's so far from the truth with all the politics and different things that happened. Like I said, I'm not going to get into it, but greatest of all time, and I've always hated this because everybody just throws, oh, man, you the GOAT. Oh, that's two GOATs. You cannot have two GOATs.
Yeah.
You can't have two. If you're the greatest, that's one. You know, so if we're going to say, okay, some great players,
mm-hmm.
that's different. But if we're going to say the greatest of all time, that's one. You know, that has to be a king.
Now, let me ask, greatest of all time, because time is going by, should it be broken down into eras, or are we just looking at overall number one best to do it? Because you're going to have some people in this era, LeBron James,
yeah.
right? In
yeah.
my era growing up, Michael Jordan. Before that, somebody may yell Wilt Chamberlain, you know? So it's like, who's to say in these different eras? But you going by, you saying, if my stats was better than everybody who came before me, I'm the all-time leading rusher. How could somebody be better than that?
I'll say this, you know, even we go LeBron and Jordan and all these, you know, different ways, we have to have a set criteria that we're looking for. We're going to say this guy has the most rings, you know, so I can say, hey, well, look, Tillery was a good running back, but he only won one championship.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be open to that. I'd be able to say, okay, that's fine.
Oh,
we can't even take it. We can't say, well, if we talk anything with stats, whether that's single season, whether that's all time, mm-hmm. whether that's games played,
mm-hmm.
games over 100 yards, I'm killing the stat talk.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we're going to do ring talk, if we're going to go for the era and the guys that you were around, I guess that's another thing that would play into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said earlier during the break, you know, I would even go as far as to say I had one of the best offensive lines to come through the SWAG as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys, we consistently were putting up 1,000-yard rushes year after year after year. And so we can go and say, man, we had this guy, we had that guy. We had five offensive linemen consistently. The nickel, as Coach Bear used to call it.
Yeah.
That consistently produced
1,000-yard
rushes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when we came in, that was one thing that he put an emphasis on. Hey, look, we're going to run for 1,000 yards. every year. You know, we fell short that first year, I probably by like 200 yards, but for my sophomore, junior, and senior year, we went over 1,000 yards, sometimes midway through the season. So, you know, I'm open to it. I love to hear the conversation. I love to hear the dialogue. But at the end of the time, I want it to make sense. You know, if you say, hey, look, this guy was better than him, show me how, tell me how, and I'll say, all right, that's good for you. That's your opinion.
Let's go through top five rushers. Okay. I want to just do the top five, then we'll throw. Matter of fact, let me throw some other names right there. I got a Robert Holmes, 1965 to 1967. He rushed for 1,292 yards at Southern off of 286 attempts for 4 touchdowns. Let's go Henry Green. Do you know any of these names?
Now, I know I've heard the Henry Green before. I guess we looked at these names.
Yeah.
You know, my offensive line, they brought me the list, and they were like, we're going to beat everybody on here. That's the confidence they had in me. So, you know, I've seen the names. I've heard the names. I've actually had the pleasure of talking to a few of these guys.
Henry Green, 1972 to 1974 for Southern. He rushed for 1,360 yards off of 246 attempts, 20 touchdowns. How about Reggie Morgan? 430 carries, 1,608 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1978 to 1980. Some of my older listeners out there, this may resonate with them, right?
Yeah.
It's well before our times, right? Michael Adams, 311 carries, 1,628 yards, 8 touchdowns. He played from 1981 to 1984. Here's another one, Barry Kimbrough, 382 carries for 1,668 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. He played from 1987 to 1990. Kenneth People, I remember this name in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Kenneth People, 385 carries with 1,780 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns. He played from 2002 to 2003. Lindsey Scott Sr.
Yeah.
A lot of people always talk about Lindsey Scott Sr. 447
amazing
attempts rushing, 1,797 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. He played from 91 to 93. Ronald Scott. Anybody remember Ronald Scott? 416 carries, ran for 2,014 yards, 11 touchdowns. He played from 1983 to 1986. Now, you ready for the top five rushers of all time?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Crazy enough, at number five is a quarterback.
I think I know who it is.
He wasn't even a running back. Crazy enough, at number five in the top five rushers of all time at Southern University, it's a quarterback, Ladarius Skelton from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Everybody know that's my boy. 372 rushing attempts. He ran for 2,299 yards and 30 touchdowns. He played from 2018 to 2021.
That's
a quarterback
unreal.
In the top five.
That's unreal.
Unreal. Coming in at number four, Melvin Williams, 563 carries, 2,429 yards. He also had 30 touchdowns, played from 94 through 97. Let's get to the top three. This one got me in the top three. Devon Ben.
Yes, sir.
Number three.
Come on now.
540 rushing attempts for 2,692 yards, 19 touchdowns. He played from 2017 to 2021. And imagine, Devon being with Darius Skelton. That
Come
was
on
the
now.
Backfield.
Come on, they killing it, man.
Here we go to top two. Drum roll, do we know? Steve Wofford at number two, 613 carries, 3,015 yards, 30 touchdowns. He played from 96 to 98. And that number one all-time leading rusher just at Southern, Lenard Tillery. Now, by far, you're blowing him out the water with the carries.
Yeah.
837 carries for 4,837 yards and 45 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, if we just sit here and listen to the numbers, a lot of these guys made the list off of, look like, two seasons of just playing, you know, especially with Devon Ben. You know, he was there when I was there, you know, so coming behind me, not getting to be able to play, and then coming right after, he was able to show you what he's able to do. And so I think it's more so about the opportunity more so than, I guess, you know, there's a lot of talented guys. There's always going to be talent, especially on the collegiate level, but it's the opportunity and the availableness of it. You know, I'm pretty sure if Ladarius Skelton wanted to just tuck it every time, he could have took over the list easily if he wanted to. But I said he was playing quarterback. And then with Devon Ben, if he had more carries, you know, we can play the game of if and this and that. But at the end of the game, in the end of the day, it's about whose numbers were better. We could go yards per carry. They had some guy with more touchdowns, you know. So even with Steve Wofford, 600, you know, that's 3 years worth. Imagine if he played a full season. Imagine if they were able to play all 4 years. That was one big thing for me. I was blessed to play 4 years, you know, yeah. and touch the field for 4 years and make an impact for 4 years. And so I always say, you know, it's amazing running backs that we had. They have guys that weren't on the top 10 list that I would still name that would just Sylvester Nzekwe.
Yeah.
You know, the running back before me, he used to cut up.
I remember a game against Florida A&M in the Atlanta Football Classic, man. He was giving FAMU everything they could handle.
My goodness, bro. Like, his running style impacted a lot of minds, I guess, coming into Southern. And so I didn't agree with it personally. The red shirt, yeah, I wanted to play immediately, mm-hmm. you know, as all kids do. But that was probably one of the best years for me to kind of just sit back. It was a lot of different running backs. Jonte Abair
yep.
from Prairie View, you know.
Had a game of one of the best performances I saw single-handedly when they came to Southern and won for homecoming. They beat Southern at Southern's homecoming.
Oh,
that,
my goodness.
Guys from Baton Rouge tend to find to have their best game in when Baton they Rouge. Leave Southern, leave Baton Rouge, and then they happen to play against Southern, then they just like, I don't know, they just go yeah. play out their mind.
Oh, my goodness. It was crazy. And it's just so many. Arnold Walker, Alcorn running back. I think this was the year 2000. It was 2013, the year we won the championship.
That game went into a multiple overtime.
Yes, and then he finished it with like a 40-yard run.
Yeah.
Just bouncing off of people. And it was just, it was so many guys that I got to see that was able to help me to push myself and motivate me to be better than what I was. So I can't sit here and just say, well, I was just the best, period. But at the end of the day, I was one of the most consistent.
Yeah.
You know, and I can hold my hat on that. I will never just come here and say I was just better than this guy, better than that, better than that. But I was more consistent across a longer period. And so that's why I was blessed to be able to have the record. I was had coaches that took the running game seriously, and Coach Barry. I had my nickel, my offensive line, who took pride in opening holes and winning games based off of the run game. You know, so it was just it was like everything just lined up perfectly for me. You know, I was more so blessed and talented. I wouldn't say talented and blessed. I was blessed and talented.
Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We come back, we'll continue more of the conversation. I got the SWAC all-time leading rusher here in the studio with me this morning, my man Lenard Tillery. You guys stay tuned. We'll be back more of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Got my man Lenard Tillery here in the studio with me this morning. Tillery, you said you wanted to hear the top wide receivers?
Yeah, like I said, we had some amazing quarterbacks, amazing receivers. We just had some amazing talent in that period, you know, that I was there.
Let me give you, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll give you the top five real quick. Gerard Landry, 159 yeah. Receptions, 2,040 yards, 20 touchdowns, played from 2004 to 2007. How about Lee Doss?
Come on now. I knew he was in there.
177 receptions for 2,280 yards, 23 touchdowns from 2011 to 2014. Jamore Stewart.
Yeah.
Big boy. 201 receptions for 2,668 yards, 25 touchdowns, played from 06 to 09. Michael Hayes, the one everybody always yeah. talks about, the big-time wide receiver, transferred from LSU. 205 receptions for 3,056 yards, 30 touchdowns, monster. 1999 to 2002. Injuries just really started. He really could have yeah. blew it out no, the water no, if it wasn't for the injuries. And then number one, gone in the wind, Willie Quinn.
Come on now.
Hey, all right?
My
playing
man.
It like some old school Sega. 232 receptions for 3,216 yards, 26 touchdowns. Played from 2013 to 2016. And not only was he that, he also led the nation, almost broke an FCS record in returns.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I could never sit here and try to take all the credit for the things that I was able to do because the guys that I had around me, man, even quarterbacks, I was able to play with two of the best quarterbacks to come out of Southern University.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I played with Lee Doss and Willie Quinn, both two top five receivers in receptions and in yardage. So it's the talent around you matters just as much as the talent that you have. And that was one thing about us. We all push each other at practice, and it's just a crime, Perry, that we only got one ring out of those 4 years.
Yeah, that 2016 team was stacked. Man. And think about it. Not only were you the all-time leading rusher in Southern and the SWAC, but you also played on that offense with the all-time leading passer in Austin Howard. You played with the all-time leading receiver in Willie Quinn at wide receiver. And then, I mean, think about that offense. You got the all-time leaders in every stat on offense in Southern history at quarterback, wide receiver, and running back that played during that era. But as we talked about it off air, man, that bad boy up at Grambling, Devontae Kincaid, bro.
Man. When I tell you, it's one of those things where you have to be confident in your team and, you know, we're not worried about anything outside of these walls. And so I think going up to that point, we were undefeated, you know, especially in swag play. And so when we got to the Bayou Classic, that was, like I said, I'm not, no disrespect to the other side. I guess they switched it now, so we could say it, but that was the championship game, was the Bayou Classic in New Orleans.
It was.
And when we got to that game, we were hyped up. We were ready, man. And I'm talking about talent, just talent on top of talent on top of talent. And when we got there, that was one of the best Bayou Classics to date, you know, just talent-wise. And I had watched film on the guys, seen them, you know. Chad was on that team as well. Vernon, it was unreal to just go blow for blow for blow every drive. And you just knew, hey, we have to score this drive. This game is going to get out of reach. And then and it ended up coming down to the fourth quarter and we lost it. But I was just, I couldn't believe it, you know, because we had literally either blown them out or beat them handily, everybody else. And when we got to that game, we were so confident. We knew we were going to handle, but they just came with it more, you know.
Looking at that program, too, the success shouldn't even have not been there with all of these all-time greats on top of the success that was had competing for championships because APR. After the Bayou Classic, you hung up that helmet into fall camp.
Yeah.
There was no spring football during this time. That was the really amazing part to it all, the fact that no spring football, no time to develop until you got to the fall.
Well, like I say, Coach Odoms had a philosophy in mind where it was a no-excuses philosophy. At the end of the day, we can only deal with what we had. And so if we didn't have spring ball, we could easily sit there and be like, well, you know, we shouldn't be able to come out, or we're not going to be able to do this. That was never – I'm talking about from day one when he came in. Even in his interim year, he was able to come in and have success because of the mindset that he had and the mindset that he gave over to the players, where it was like, hey, I'm not looking for excuses. I want results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ran it like a military base. Results, results, results. And at the end of the day, if you have excuses, maybe this isn't the place for you.
Matter of fact, one, I think the first team building thing was the military was
Marine
brought
Day.
In, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Marine Day, you know. So it's a push-through mentality. We didn't have spring. That kind of slowed us down, at least getting prepared and getting started, going into the season and things like that. But you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
And so whether that be, you know, guys getting together and working out together, if we're going out and we're doing mad drills, we have to push it at 100%. And we just knew, I guess, coming off of that 2013 year, winning that championship, that it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But when we did it in 2013, that sparked something in everybody on the team. You know, anybody that was coming into the team to say, hey, look, this is a championship program. And we have to be at that standard. So coming back the next year, losing in the 14, it was just more motivation. We had successful years every year that I was at Southern University because of our coaching, because of our players, because of the Jaguar Nation coming behind us and expecting greatness. And at the end of the day, I don't think it'll ever be a season as a fan or as a player that I'm not expecting a championship.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. You know, Southern wins another championship. That's what SWAC stands for. You know, so I could care less if we went, 2-8 last year?
2-10.
2-10. Oh, look. I be trying to forget the numbers, you know. It was tough for me to watch.
That's that chapter I'd rather put in the back of the book and act like I didn't read it.
Yeah. I don't want to. We're not going to relive that. We're not going to think about it. We're going forward, and we're trying to win championships every year. That's just our mentality as fans, as players, and it should be. Yeah. We have to expect excellence.
Let's get ready to take a break. We're getting to the top of the hour. I got my man, Lenard Tilley, the SWAC's all-time leading rusher here in the studio with me this morning, man. We're talking some ball, man. And as we continue to talk some ball, I hope you guys continue to tune in. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM and everybody tuning in on our live across YouTube, on X, Twitch TV, whatever the case, Facebook. Glad to have you guys with us. So you guys stay tuned. Go use the bathroom. Go fix you some coffee. Get up and stretch and yawn real quick, because we're going to come back and continue more of the conversation. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal, all right?